What a blessing it is to be reminded that God hears and answers prayer, that we can ask what we will, and He will grant it to us as long as it's in keeping and in harmony with His will. I want to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9. Some very good words here were spoken this day to remind the children of Israel who they were and why they were who they were and how they got to be who they were. It says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, Lord God of our fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." You see, if you were to take that which God has given us and then add something to it, then it's no longer what God gave to us. And in like manner, if you take what God has given to us and take just one thing away from it, then it's no longer what God has given to us. We need to respect that, just as the children of Israel were taught to respect it. He says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples who will hear all the statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him?" Moses is saying, as we abide in the Lord, when we have fellowship with the Lord, He's going to have fellowship with us. And it's going to be evident to the nations that are around us that we walk with the Lord, that we have a God that isn't distant, but a God who is near. And whenever we have a need, we call upon Him, and that need is provided. Who has a God like that? Well, only Israel. Other nations had quote-unquote gods that they had created to themselves that weren't gods at all, that couldn't do anything, that couldn't see or speak or hear. But Israel worshiped the one true God who saw and heard and provided the things that His people needed. What great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? The law of Israel, both spiritual and for their culture as well, made them a unique culture, a loving culture. "Take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." I want you to notice here at the end, he says, "lest you forget." Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Remember what you saw. Remember what you saw at Baal Peor and how that those who sinned were put to death. And God demanded such. And remember that because you didn't sin, you're still alive today to enjoy the blessings of God. That's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it always is, that always has been and always will be, that those who love God and keep His commandments are going to be preserved, going to be in fellowship with God. But those who disobey God, Those who add to, take away from, disregard and disrespect His law, they are going to be destroyed. Take heed to yourself. You've seen how this is applied to generations before you. You've seen how this has been applied to your forefathers. You've seen how this has been applied in your own lives. Now He says, let's make this personal. Take heed to yourself, not just as a nation, but as individuals, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget. Remember what you've seen. Remember the justice that God has enacted. Remember the blessings that God has poured out upon you. Remember these things, lest you forget. And remember that these blessings come because you remained in His Word. I want to focus on that tonight. You know, even Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, I'm not writing anything new to you. Everything I'm writing, you know about it, but I'm writing these things to put you in remembrance, lest you forget. We have a tendency to forget, don't we? Why did Jesus give us the Lord's Supper? Lest we forget the sacrifice that was paid for our sins. Why was it to be remembered every first day of the week? Lest we forget. There are many things that we should not forget. Don't forget to take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, as God and Moses told them on behalf of God in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. You know, that's very similar to what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in being true to yourself by being true to the doctrine. You know, we do ourselves a disservice when we try to change God's will for us. When we pervert His Word, when we start acting like the lawyer and says, well, what does neighbor mean? Define neighbor. Define, people want to define all kinds of words, and that's fine. But be honest in your search for the definition. Don't try to change the meaning of the word to suit your situation. Diligently keep yourself. Remember to keep yourself in His way. Remember what you have learned. That's what He said there in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Don't forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. In Proverbs 4 and verse 5, we read, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. You notice this morning in our adult Bible study how that in James chapter 1 we're told to pray for wisdom. But, you know, getting wisdom begins with prayer, but it doesn't end there. It takes seeking and knocking, asking, and asking the right person. The words of wisdom are the words of God. And when we have found the wisdom of His Word, don't forget what we have found. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the children of Israel were told to remember their experiences and to remember the Word of God, we're told to remember the Word of God. You know, you can go to, we looked at Proverbs chapter 2 here, or Proverbs chapter 4, but back up to Proverbs chapter 2. And God goes into a very long dissertation about where does wisdom come from. He encourages us to seek it and to find it, but to also acknowledge the fact that it comes by continuing in His Word. We must study it rightly divided, we must love it and treasure it. And then we will find the wisdom to properly discern between right and wrong, and good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. Remember what you have learned. It's so easy to forget, especially when we have Satan and his angels twisting the Word of God. That's what they've always done. Twisting the Word of God to make us fall into sin, just like he did with Eve. Just added one little word, but in so doing, brought in temptation. Don't forget to teach your children and your grandchildren, as we notice there in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, lest you forget, teach these things to your children and your grandchildren. Teach your children what you saw at Baal Peor. Teach your children not only that, of course, but everything that you've seen. In Psalm 78, in the first seven verses, we read, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. What's he saying? You need to be reminded of these things. I want to tell you things that have been told for generations upon generations, and they need to continue to be told upon generations and upon generations. Telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. This law that God has given us, this testimony that was given to Jacob, wasn't given to Jacob just for Jacob's sake. It was for all people. That they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So the story of creation, the account of Adam and Eve and of Cain and Abel and of Noah, Nadab and Abihu, and all of those Old Testament stories are to be told over and over and over again from generation to generation. Sometimes we get to an age where we say, well, everybody knows those things. No, not everybody knows those things. There's a generation that doesn't know them. There's a generation that is born every year that doesn't know them. There's people who have lived for decades. You do not know them and do not know how to apply them. These things need to be told over and over and over again because the principles involved still apply to our current generation. Psalm 103 in verses 17 and 18 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, on those who revere Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. Who does God look upon with favor? Who does God exercise mercy toward? It's towards those who keep His covenant and remember His commandments. Don't forget. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to continue in His commandments as we anticipate the mercy of our beloved God. Don't forget to trust in God in times of anguish. You know, that was one of the things that we noticed there in Deuteronomy, that he said the nations round about you as you go in and possess their lands, one thing they're going to observe is that you have a God who is near to you. You have a God who, in times of trouble, and when you call upon Him, He hears and He answers and He delivers you. Well, He's the same God that we have today. That when we're in trouble, we can call upon Him, and we know that He hears. And we know that if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not alone. But we go in the strength of His right hand. Psalm 77 and verses 10 through 13 says, I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? What's the psalmist saying? He's going through difficult times, hard times. But he says, my focus isn't on these hard times. My focus is on a great God that can do anything and has done unimaginable things. I will continue to declare how great God is. Even in my time of distress, my time of weakness, I will declare how great God is. And His promise that He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I'm okay. I'll be all right. I'm in His care. Psalm 20 and verse 7 says it this way, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord, our God. Some trust in their military. Some trust in their own physical strength. Some trust in their financial strength. Some trust in their wits. But he says, my trust is in Almighty God, who can do anything. Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible. Don't forget the destruction of those who do forget God. The children of Israel there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 were called upon to remember those who forgot their God at Baal Peor and what happened to them. In Job chapter 8 and verses 11 through 13, there's a parable for you. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been around water plants and how they're just flourishing as long as there's water? But if the water dries up, they might stand there and they might look okay, but they're just as dried up and dead as they can be. You don't have to cut them down for them to turn brown. They just turn brown standing there. Somebody once told me that grass is 90% water. Man, that's true. But these water plants are even more so. When the water's gone, they're dead. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. So if we forget God, we forget His Word, we add to or take away from the law that has been given to us in Christ Jesus, we practice something different. We try to make the doctrine of Christ fit us rather than us fit the doctrine of Christ. We're dead. We're dead, although we might look alive. We're just like that water plant. We can't live spiritually without the truth of God's Word. The hypocrite might deceive themselves into thinking that they're all right with God and in fellowship with God, but the truth of the matter is they will perish. We need to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. Psalm 9 in verse 17 reads, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." That's a sobering verse these days, isn't it? It's always been a sobering verse, but as we look at our nation and how they have seemingly turned their backs upon God, turned away from God. They've forgotten God and His Word. They don't know His way. We have a group of people who profess to be spiritual that don't know what the Word of God says. They're trusting their feelings. And they're trusting what they think rather than what God has revealed in His Word. Practice of such is wickedness. We need to recognize that. You know, wickedness isn't just lying and cheating and dishonesty and murder and sexual immorality and all of that. Wickedness is forgetting the Word of God. Wickedness is adding to and taking away from God's Word. Wickedness is trying to form God in our image rather than us being formed to His image. Wickedness is saying, "I want to build the church the way I want to build it," rather than the way God has revealed that it is to be built. "I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God, and it makes me feel good," rather than the way that God has revealed that He is to be worshipped. Why can't people feel good about that? Why can't people feel good about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, in accordance to what God has delivered to us? I feel good about it. Seems like everybody ought to be able to feel good about that. There's a confidence and an assuredness in there. I don't have to say, "Well, I hope I'm worshiping God the way He wants me to." I know I am, because I can turn to book, chapter, and verse. See, this is what God has authorized, and this is what we do. Psalm 50 in verse 22 says, "Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Remember what I've said to you, because if you don't remember, it's not going to be good. Certain destruction will come." Don't forget to repent. You know, the Word of God is given to us to reprove, show us where we're wrong, to correct, to show us how to make correction, to guide us in everything that's right, to teach us all of the Word of God. When God's Word reproves us, it also shows us how to make correction. It shows us what to turn away from and what to turn to. And be sure that we do that. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly," or surely, "and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Remember from where you have fallen. You know, isn't that an interesting statement? That some people add to God's Word, some people take away from God's Word, and as they're doing that, their conscience might bother them. But as they continue in their own way rather than God's way, they soon forget from what they have fallen. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "Remember from where you have fallen." Your priorities have changed. You're not doing the first work of the church. Some of you might say, "Well, what's the first work of the church?" It's to seek and save the lost. It's the purpose that Jesus came here. It's not just to defend the truth and practice the truth. It's to teach it to others and bring the lost to Christ. Repent and do the first works. chapter 3 of Revelation, the angel of the church at Sardis write, "These things saith he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You've deceived yourself into thinking that you're spiritually alive. The fact of the matter is, you're dead. You're separated from me. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I come upon you." To remember and to repent, we are told to watch. Stand the watch. Realize that your faith is under attack. Your soul is desired by the destroyer, and he will do all he can to tempt you and to lead you away from your inheritance with Almighty God. Don't let that happen. Remember, stand the watch. When God's Word convicts you of sin, turn from it and turn to the way of righteousness. Finally, tonight I want to look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. I think it's a good way to sum up this lesson. My son, do not forget my law. Don't forget. How do we keep from forgetting God's law? Keep reading it. Keep studying it. Keep practicing it. Keep putting what you read into practice. Do not forget my law. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Respect it. Revere it. Hold it high. Seek wisdom. Treasure it. Walk in the way of God. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Interesting choice of words there, isn't it? Let your heart keep my commands. I don't know what that says to you, but I believe what God is saying to us there is that I know your heart better than you do. I created your heart. And I know that your heart is a heart that wants to keep my commands. I know that your heart is a heart that wants to walk in my way. Because it's best for them. It's best for you. It's best for people that you come in contact with. Your life will be better, and the people that you come in contact with, you'll make their lives better. Let your heart keep my commandments. Have you ever thought about that? How that we so often refuse to let our heart keep the commandments of God because of our self-centeredness to gratify the pleasure of sin, the pleasure of serving self, rather than the pleasure of serving God. Let your heart keep the commandments of the Lord. Will you do that tonight? Will you let your heart turn to God? Will you let your heart turn away from yourself and the focus on the pleasures of sin? Will you let your heart focus on the pleasures of practicing righteousness and glorifying God? Will you confess your faith in Christ tonight and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you let your heart serve Him all the days of your life? If you're here tonight and a child of God and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, will you let that be known? Will you let your heart be right with God before we leave this place tonight? Whatever might be your need, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.